Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. Oh, fresh off the love train. And we're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pick up the stream, go to the Animal World website, marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live link upper right. That will click you through the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen upper left and then Listen Online, and you will be all set up to stream the show. And hey, it is an extra Sunday. We have a 5-Sunday month, and so we're doing another teaching show, or I'm doing another teaching show. Walter Stoffel is here. He is the author of Lance, A Spirit Unbroken. Good morning again, Walter.
Good morning.
And thanks for getting up. And we got some more moves out of Walter for the love train. And but I don't think we didn't overwork you now, right? You're not feeling sick.
I'm just sorry you guys couldn't see my amazing footwork while I was dancing.
I know nobody can see our amazing footwork when we're doing it this way, but we'll take your word for it.
You'll have to.
You had happy feet, huh?
Yes.
All right. Wonderful. Wonderful. And I forgot to tell everybody last hour, if you are interested in Walter's book, Lance, A Spirit Unbroken, if you want to read this amazing story, and so you can wonder, just like I do, how come this guy is still alive? He shouldn't be. With the stuff he did with this dog and the trouble they got into, he shouldn't be alive. But he is. And so you might want to read the book. The best way to get it, Walter, and especially if you want an autograph copy, then go to your website, right?
That is correct.
And it's Walter Stoffel author.com. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes.
Hey, I got a good memory. Walter Stoffel, and Stoffel is S-T-O-F-F-E-L. Walter Stoffel author.com. And then when they get to your website, is it obvious how to order a book?
Yes, it's pretty clear.
Okay. And so you do autograph them and you will personalize
them. Oh, I certainly
do.
Also, I would like to say there is an audio book also.
Oh, okay. Excellent. And then that through your website as well.
Yes.
Is the book available? I mean, can you go to Amazon and other outlets and get it, or is it just through your website?
You can't get the audio book on Amazon. It's a long story that I won't bore anybody with, but I have the audio book at other sites.
Okay.
So if they go to my site, they can find that area too.
Excellent. Excellent. So walterstoffelauthor.com if you want to be in touch with Walter. And by the, is that where, you know, you've got a lot of emails and a lot of your followers that, you know, had questions about their dogs and behavior and all and solving problems. Is that discussions that happen on your website or how did
that's mostly Lance has his own Facebook page.
Oh, okay.
So he interacts with, there's a ton of dog groups on Facebook, mm-hmm. and he interacts with them. You know, I humbly admit he's got way more followers than I do.
Well, so how do we find Lance on Facebook?
Just write in Lance, A Spirit Unbroken, and there
okay,
he will
Lance,
be.
Okay, Lance, A Spirit Unbroken. Okay. All right. Yes. I got to remember to do that. Okay. Excellent. So just the name of the book, Lance, A Spirit Unbroken, that'll be up the Facebook. And that's where you communicate and people are asking the questions and that sort of thing?
A lot of, I do get emails, but there's just a lot of interaction with people that fancy dogs on Facebook.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Okay. All right. So last hour, I was kind of sharing with you how I got to the point of working with people privately and why I got to that point. So, you know, I made it my goal to figure out why dogs do what they do. And then what do people need to know to understand them and teach them to live with humans and then be able to adjust that according to their own personal lifestyles. So I meet with people privately in their home with their dogs. I find that I get the most accurate read about what we're dealing with the dogs is seeing them on their home territory. Now, in the vast majority of cases that I see, Walter, I'm there. I see people once. I kind of, a lot of people say, well, you know what? You don't just give us a fish. You teach us how to fish. And that's kind of what it is. I'm not just teaching. I'm just solving problems for you. I'm teaching you what you need to know to understand your dog and then how to deal with all these things. So it's education that you'll use for the rest of your life with dogs. And the information that I'm giving you now through this teaching show, and when we go through the sequences, and then when we get into all the things that I give, the exercises I give to people to teach, you need to know that not all of this stuff comes through on every session that I do, because I customize the sessions. So some people might get more of one thing and not all of something else, depending on them and their dog and their lifestyle and the problems and what we're dealing with. In the vast majority of cases, I can get in there and get out. It's one-time deal and we're done. Every once in a while, it's rare, but I will sometimes do a follow-up, shorter follow-up session here or there, especially if I've seen people when they had a puppy and then it's a little older sort of thing. But this, the program that I've put together and the way it works so well, that's why I rarely need to work with people more than once. It doesn't mean that's the only training they might do with their dog. They might do other things like do agility training or scent work training or something like that, tracking or, you know, who knows, which is really great, anything you do with your dog. But it's rare that I have to work with people more than once. Now, for the vast majority of dogs I see, now, every once in a while, now this is a rare, rare case, I'll run into a dog that is so volatilely aggressive that I can't fix it that fast. And often they're owner-directed aggressors. Sometimes they're both. Now, that was Lance's case. You know, Walter, I mean, because he would fire up on them just like he would anybody else. So he could be quite dangerous. So, but you do need to know that every once in a while, I'll run into a dog that is so has so many problems and is so volatile that my way of doing things isn't the right approach and is not going to work. And in that case, then, what we often need to do is remove the dog from the people and let professionals reprogram and then return back. Now, that kind of information and how we do that and who's involved and all that sort of stuff, when we talk about Lance in specific, his case, that information, those details will come through. Okay. And that's why I was getting very strongly that once I get all the general areas of education covered, we're in the last one now with the communication and then the teaching. And then once we get all the exercises everybody needs to teach and all of that, then we need to cover Lance's case and then we'll go to everybody else. And at that point, we'll probably start adding phone calls. So, all right, we were finishing up with the four-step correctional teaching sequence. Once again, for everyone, it is an I mean business tone of voice, lower, not louder. First step is, as I say, dogs, if you're doing leave it, dogs going for the food, dog goes for the food. First step is no. Short, sharp, I mean business, no. Second step, tell them what's right, leave it. Third step is the training tool that comes through. Most often in a private session, I'm using what I call that magic penny can, and that's the empty aluminum can, one roll of pennies, and duct tape on this top, and you shake it once. Now, we talked about all the other types of things that can be training tools, and you can use different sounds as interrupters. You can use spray water, that sort of thing, but you will need to go back and review to get all the education on training tools and how to incorporate them into this correctional teaching sequence. So the sequence, no, tell them what's wrong. Tell them what's right, leave it. Then shake the can, that startles the dog, they back away, that's exactly what you want. So step four is praise. good leave it. That's a good leave it. What a good leave it. Now, you also need to know that all the emphasis is on that praise, and you want your dog wiggling around saying, oh, God, was I that good? Well, make me leave it alone again. You want to make him feel really good about what's happening. All right. So then we talked about the be quiet sequence, which if it was done in normal timing and sequence would be barking starts. You'd say, no, be quiet, then shake the can, and then good quiet. That's a good quiet. Now, I believe that I also explained to you and that when we're dealing with barking, dogs that have lived with people for a long time, and they've done a lot of barking, they don't have a clue. Usually their people want them to be quiet. So sometimes we alter the sequence. Do you remember that from last time, Walter?
Yeah, that I don't remember that one.
All right. So in case I didn't cover that, because now that I'm thinking about it, I don't remember hearing that yesterday. I mean, the other day when I listened. So now if it is a dog that's lived with people for a while, so if you've had your dog for a while and there's been lots of barking and you've done things to try to stop it and your dog's still a crazy barker, what happens is dogs start barking. Woof, woof, woof. People start yelling. No, 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 shut up. Well, no, no, no is a whole lot like woof, woof, woof. And in the dog world, the pack barks to support the leader. So most dogs that live with people are spoiled. They think they're in charge. And so when everybody yells at them, when they bark, they just think the whole pack's barking along with them. So with barking, sometimes you have to alter the sequence initially to get the right point across. So if you have an older dog that's barked all their lives and you're just now going to take it on, you have your training tool ready, barking starts, the first step is we move the training tool up to step number one, because you got to stop the barking before you verbally engage so you don't inadvertently let them think you're barking with them. So barking starts, you shake the can, that interrupts the dog, then you tell them the problem. No, be quiet. Give them only a second to think about it. And while they're still quiet, good quiet. That's a good quiet. Remember, with some, you need to put a leash, collar, and harness on them snug enough they can't pull out of it. And you must keep them with you in order to get the impulse control and make them work at controlling their voice. Smart dog may just say, oh, well, I don't like that sound, but I don't want to stop barking. So they'll just go the other side of the room or go the other end of the house and keep barking. So then you put a leash on them, make them stay with you. Then they can't get away from the sound and they're forced to learn to control themselves. All right. Now,
it's like a little bit of torture for the dog, but you know, sometimes you got to put them through that, right?
Oh, well, that's not the word that I would use.
Yeah, it is kind of a bad word, but I mean, it's the first one.
Yeah, because we're definitely not torturing dogs, Nathan. Now,
no, we don't want to do that.
The sound interrupt does startle them and in some cases pushes them into some fear. But we need to take advantage of that for them to be willing to start working on controlling themselves. And because we pull them right out of it, because as soon as they're right, all is forgiven and it's major praise. And it's more of an awakening to them. It's kind of like, especially with this barking business, when you do the shake, no, be quiet, good quiet. Some of these dogs are like, really? What? Oh, you want me to be quiet? Well, why didn't you say so? Okay. I mean, they really have a major awakening because they didn't know you wanted them to be quiet. Okay. This is the true with a lot of other behaviors that dogs do. They're constantly doing this and grabbing that or grabbing this or doing that. But when I get there, these poor dogs really don't have a clue what's going on or that there's anything wrong with their behavior. And that therefore they get pretty neurotic and have a lot of neurotic type behaviors going on. When I come in, it's like their first experience of understanding a human that knows what they're doing and that's a good, powerful leader. but that knows how to communicate with them in a way that they understand. And even though, you know, I pull the rug right out from these dogs and do things very fast, you know, you would think they'd say, well, I don't want to have anything to do with you. And that might happen temporarily, but by the time I get done, they have their little thumbs out going, you know what, Aunt Martha, can I like come home with you? Because they're attracted to powerful leadership and they want to be with someone that they understand and they know is powerful. So a lot of them want to come home. But what I was chuckling about, the last two sessions I did, Nathan, you'll appreciate them. Two sessions ago was a teenage, 8-month-old cattle dog Aussie mix. Looked like a border collie cattle dog mix. Belonged to an older couple that, you know, had had dogs before, but hadn't raised a puppy for quite a long time. And the husband was really into cattle dogs because his family was really into cattle dogs. And he grew up on farm and with working cattle dogs. Well, now they're just a couple. They live in a house. They have a nice yard, but no fence. They're old, like me. And they got a puppy, rehomed, cattle dog mix. They don't know what they're doing. And this dog, absolutely out of control. And often these dogs, you know, they don't know what's going on. And they're so confused because we don't know how to tell them how to help them understand that their behavior is wrong. And we do so many convoluted things to prevent and avoid, keep dogs from doing what they're doing, but none of it really helps them understand what's going on. That's why this 4-step correctional sequence is so important. All right, then. Nathan is reminding me that we are doing radio, and so we have to stay on schedule. So we're going to take care of advertisers here shortly, and that will give me a chance to regroup here, and then we will continue. So everybody stay right where you are. Animal World continues straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Give your dog, cat, or ferret the gift of great health naturally. Make NuPro all-natural supplements an essential part of your pet's diet. NuPro makes an awesome gravy, sure to please. This gravy provides fresh nutrients for a beautiful, silky skin and coat, strong immune system, and healthy digestion, among other wonderful benefits. NuPro's joint support formula is perfect for working dogs, large breeds, and especially seniors. So go with NuPro, your pet's best friend for over 20 years. Visit online at NuProSupplements.com for more information.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior training or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude Ponton can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude can work with you remotely, office, or on-site if you live in the Seattle area. Jude can also teach classes in the Acutonic Sound Healing System. check out whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
Make us part of your daily routine. Alternative Talk, 1150.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and we are midway through the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here till noon today and every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here in Alternative Talk, AM 1150. We heard from wonderful New Pro Supplements, N-U-P as in Peter R-O Supplements. Great supplements for dogs, cats, and ferrets. The best cat vitamins on the planet. Oh, man. They're called the New Pro Nuggets. And I use them sometimes to get picky cats to eat things. They're really, really good. And you shake the little bag and, oh, they come running. Great supplement for dogs, too. Check them out. Great presentation on the website. You can order there and a lot of you can find them at a lot of pet stores. New Pro, N-U-P, as in Peter, R-O, supplements.com. Remember, our premier sound healer is up and running at Whispering Dragon again in Seattle. You can see her in person or remotely. And if you want to experience the gongs and the acutonic forks, or if you need chiropractic work, and you can check it out, whispering-dragon.com or Whispering Dragon Center on Facebook. Great video of the gongs and the work. So you might want to check that out. And give Jude a call if you'd like to schedule, 206-706-2836. 206-706-2836. Alrighty then, we are getting rolling here in the teaching, and let's see, Nathan and Walter, finishing up with this four-step correctional teaching sequence. We were just finishing up with the be quiet and the barking. So, you know, if you have a young dog or a dog that's just starting, you know, a barking issue here or there, remember, it's unrealistic to expect dogs never to bark. It is realistic to expect to have verbal control over the barking and to condition out nuisance barking. But if it's a young dog, new dog, barking's just starting, you can use the regular sequence. Barking starts, no, be quiet. Training tool to interrupt and stop, and then good quiet. If a dog's been with you a long time, they've been barking all their life, then an altered sequence to make sure they get the right point, that quiet is what we want. You start with the training tool, like the can, shake, then no, be quiet, and then the praise as long as they're still quiet. Good quiet, that's a good quiet. Now, if you start with the altered sequence, once they get it, oh, you want me to be quiet, and you can see them working on that, then you can go back to the regular sequence. If a bark sneaks out, you can just say, no, be quiet. And if they say, okay, great. They don't, then you use your training tool. Good quiet, good quiet. That makes sense to everybody on mm-hmm. that? We'll do more specific work with barking when we get to cases and all the nuances there.
One right. quick little question yes. between like the four step like interruption and then the one with the bark. So when you're saying like your no when a dog barks, is it just like a soft, like controlling no? Because you said earlier,
no, it's the same way. It's that deep, low no.
Okay, because I just wanted to like get a difference because you said it could sound like you're barking with the dog.
Well, that's why if your dog's been a barker for a long time, then you alter the sequence and stop the barking first mm-hmm. before you verbally engage.
Okay.
But if it's a young dog, you know, and it's just starting to bark inappropriately, then you can use a regular sequence because, you know, they're not in a barking frenzy.
Got it.
Make sense? Okay. Yep. All right. So that's we're going to move on from barking now, because at this point, my point is just giving you the sequence for the four step sequence for barking. We'll do more details around all the kinds of barking and everything else you need to know when we get specifically to that issue, when we get to the specific stuff. All right. So the last sequence you need is the off sequence. So that's quite interesting. When I'm thinking about all of this, you know, there's not a lot of words you need to teach to your dogs. And these sequences, the three that are the biggies, of course, is leave it. Leave it covers anything. Whatever you're thinking about or doing, forget it, leave it alone, stop. So that covers lots of territory. That means leave it can be don't take that shoe, don't mess with my underwear, stay out of the garbage. It could be, you know, leave the food alone on the table. It could be ignore the squirrel on the walk or the rabbit on the walk or the other dog. But leave it covers all kinds of territory. Now, it is also, I'm going to remind you just how important, though, if you engage in this, the training tools are very powerful if you find the right one for your dog. It's usually the penny can, by far and away, is usually the most powerful and effective with the most amount of dogs. So I start with that. But sometimes we have to be creative and use other training tools or switch them out if they start to lose their effectiveness. Now, I'm going to just repeat how important it is that you use the full sequence and not just the training tool. If you only use the training tools, they won't work for very long because they get used to them, figure out ways around them. The training tool is designed to be an extension of your power, which is why the words are so important. If you're saying something like, no, leave it, shake, good, leave it, pretty soon leave it means shake. It is the sound that impresses the dog and that's so powerful. But with this timing, no, leave it, shake, good, leave it. Pretty soon, no, they hear leave it. They think, say, they're quiet. And you get to, they associate then the power with you and your voice. And that's what allows you to wean off the training tool. If the training tool starts to lose its effectiveness at some point, then the first thing you do is check on yourself. Am I doing the sequence properly? Chances are the answer is going to be no, and you need to clean up your business and do it right. If the answer is yes, I'm doing it well. For my clients, I say you better call Aunt Martha and I'll make sure you're doing it right. Or you switch training tools. So if they start to lose effective, you're using the penny can, you could switch to the pet corrector, which is the hiss, if that works, or the, you know, air horn type sound, or the squirt bottle. And you can switch back and forth with training tools, but you don't continue to use a training tool if it's starting to lose effectiveness. You got to make sure that you're doing things properly and then switch training tools. Does that make sense? All right. So are we good on the sequence for leave it and for barking?
Yes.
All righty. Jumping up, popular subject here. And most dogs automatically jump. It's pretty normal behavior for dogs. And, you know, they jump up at you basically because they want, you know, it's a greeting thing. And they... You know, think about how dogs greet each other. What they run up to each other. The first thing they do is get nose to nose, face to face. And they're you know, sniffing each other's noses and muzzles. Right? And then they turn around, sniff butts and all that kind of stuff. Well, dogs jump up because they want to get close to your face and hands. They want to get close to the face to smell your breath. You know, they can tell where you've been, where you ate, what you ate and all that sort of stuff. But there's a way to identify. And they want to get close to your hands because that's where the attention comes from, the touching and the petting. So jumping up is, you know, it's a greeting thing for them and they want to get close to your face and hands, but it usually is very unpleasant to the people, you know, we jump up on and after a while, it's like, we don't want to put up with that anymore. So, when it comes, to jumping up, the first thing you got to decide, what are your rules? Okay. Now, the rule we're going to work with here is the rule that I think works the best in all situations. So you can deviate from this if you want, of course. But the rule I like is, dog, unless you're invited, it's always wrong to jump up. Okay. Because that covers the bases. Okay. For all the people that come over, new people, visitors they meet, they don't invite the dog to jump up. So the dog stays off. Okay. And then if you want the dog to jump up, you can invite them. So that's the rule that I like. Dog, unless you're invited, it's always wrong to jump up. So that means for the dog to learn as quickly as possible, you A, have to be consistent. And so when you're hanging out, you know, the lessons always happen first at home with you, you know, and you have to teach in one way and then you generalize to other people and around. So when you're with your dog at home or elsewhere, if the dog, you know, climbs up on your lap or starts to jump up on you, you have to understand now, even if it's a time that you, it's okay with you if the dog jumps up on you and you might even invite them into your lap. However, if they start jumping up on you, even if it's a time you might be okay, if you didn't invite them, you must correct them and go through the teaching sequence because this is how they learn. Unless you're invited, it's always wrong to jump up. So does that make sense? See, if you only correct them when you don't want them to jump up, but other times you allow them to jump up on their own, what does that end up being? What is the strongest way of strengthening canine behavior? A random reward. You know, the ultimate strongest is a random food reward. But see, if you correct inconsistently, You don't invite the dog, but it's okay, and you let them climb up in your lap. But you, when it's not okay, you correct them. Well, then what the dog says is, well, sometimes I can just pile on my mom and it's okay. Sometimes I can't. But it's always worth trying to see if it's one of those times when I can. So you have to discipline each time. Does that make sense? Have we got that point? Okay. Now, then, ideally, you'd like all members of the family to follow the same rules. But we're human and that doesn't always happen. So all you need to know is that dogs are capable of learning to behave one way with one person and one with another. So sometimes you got one member of the family. Sorry, guys, it's often the husband. Okay. That doesn't want to do it. I'm not doing it. Okay. So in most cases, you can just let that slide and say, okay, you know, sink your own ship. You do it your way because the dog, it will be a little harder for the dog to get the rules. But let's understand, okay, I don't jump on mom or the kids, but I can trash dad. And so after a while, dad sees the dog behaving with everybody. I'm sorry, I don't mean to, you know, generally trash dads, but just, you know, in my experience, it's usually the husband doesn't want to cooperate, but it could be anybody, could be the wife too. The husband then will see the dog being well-mannered and staying off of everybody. And then finally he gets frustrated and then will say, okay, what do I need to do to stop this? Then when they're ready, you can give them the information. Now with children, depending on the child, most kids are not capable of pulling off these sequences until, you know, they've had, seen their parents do it and had some coaching and all this kind of stuff. But also you got to remember that, you know, dogs are the pack animals. They work on a pecking order system and they aren't stupid. So if you live in a family where we got parents and kids, the dog knows who the kids are. And in the dog world, they're fair game for climbing up the pecking order. And the kids are not going to get the respect that the adults are going to get simply because they're kids. And that's how it works in the dog world. So parents, you're going to have to back up your kids and you'll do the sequences for them and with them and all of that. So this is not something that children can do on their own. Unless they're, you know, like a dog trainer in a little kid suit. And I run into those once in a while. There are some that are just naturally, that's what they're here to do is work with animals and they get it really quickly. And so I've met some pretty spectacular kids that can do a lot of this stuff, but they're the exception, not the rule. Okay, so here we go. With jumping up and the sequence, I handle it slightly differently when you're sitting as opposed to when you're standing. And just in time, Nathan wagged his finger at me. And you know what that means? Time. Okay. So, this is a good time. We're going to take care of our advertisers for the last time in this hour. Then we're going to come back and you're getting the actual teaching sequence, jumping and how you stop it and everything you need to know coming up straight ahead right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
There is a horizontal world, and there is a vertical world. Living horizontally, our concerns are based in fear and survival. But then we hear a call to live vertically, to connect to our wholeness. Linda Rasmussen, with Vertical Energy, uses a process that helps you balance higher consciousness through your body. When you live vertically, you reap the benefits of health, peace, and clarity. For a free introductory session, call 206-841-1992.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Wherever you go, Alternative Talk 1150 is here for you.
Hey, y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and thanks for spending your Sunday morning with us here on Animal World. I hope you do it every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. We heard from our wonderful bioenergetic synchronization technique practitioner, Linda Rasmussen, and she is available for you to see her in person at the Intraspace facility in the old Rainier Brewery, or she works remotely, and she's still giving away a free introductory session to anybody that asks. All you got to do is call or text her at the number I'm going to give you, and she'd be delighted to give you a free session, which you can do in person, like I said, or you can do it remotely on the phone or Zoom or something like that. Anyway, all you got to do, call or text her, 206-841-1992. 206-841-1992. And of course, you do something wonderful for humans, animals, or the planet we live on. Would love you to join our Animal World family of advertisers. We've got great rates. You get link on websites and interview on show. So great idea. And I'd love to hear from you. All you got to do, shoot me an email, animalworldlive@hotmail.com, or call me after the show, 360-217-7258. All righty then. Walter Stoffel is here, author of Lance, A Spirit Unbroken. You can find him and get the book at walterstoffelauthor.com. Nathan is here, and they're kind of helping me go through all these, how I help people understand their dogs and solve problems. And right now we are going to cover the correctional teaching sequence and how to deal with jumping up. All right. So just I told you that when I handle it a little differently, if I'm sitting than if I'm standing. So if you're sitting and the dog comes up. Now, again, I want you to remember that when you want to extinguish behavior, the way that you will be most successful is to nip everything in the bud. Like if it's barking, first bark, man, you're on it. And there's that sound interrupt, or you begin your sequence. Leave it the second they're going to, you know, for something before they have it in their mouth. Boom. You do the leave it sequence. So for jumping, you don't wait until the dog's all over you. Okay. It's the first step. So if you're sitting, usually the first step is the paws come up on your legs or your body. All right. So that's when you begin their education. Step one, same thing. No, what you're doing is wrong. Step two, you tell them what's right. In this case, it's off. And off in your mind needs to be all 4 feet on the floor. It's not a good idea to use the word down for off, because down usually means lay down, and you can't use the same word to mean two different things. So down is lie down on the floor. Off is take your paws on the floor. Okay. So first two steps, no, off. Step three then comes training tool or something we have to do to motivate the dog to get off. Now, you could in any circumstances use a training tool. So if I'm sitting here, I could say no, off, shake the can, no, off, squirt, you know, no, off, hiss, whatever. I could use a training tool. But when sitting, what I do is pinch the toes. If you do something to dog's feet, nervous system wise, you trigger a retract response. You do head or body triggers bite response. Now, sometimes you have to pinch the toe pretty hard the first time and get a little eek, okay, to activate the retract response. But once you activate it, you don't have to pinch hard anymore. You just have to touch their toes and they'll start pulling them away. So dog's paw comes up on me, no, off. And then I'd start pinching, I'd pinch the toe. And sometimes both, there's more than one paw up, and they often just move one paw at a time. And first they might just move it around on your leg, or it may come off. But as I pinch the toe, I repeat the command off. And if I have to pinch another toe, off, off, off. And I would repeat that off each time I pinch a toe until all 4 feet are back on the floor. And then step four? Praise. Good off. That's a good off. Now, if you're standing up, you don't do the toe pinch, because that can become a hit and run thing with the dog. So you don't do the toe pinch. When you're standing, there's a number of things you can do. Dog starts jumping up. You can bump them off with your knee. That's acceptable. You can kind of move towards them and kind of step on a back foot. That will get them off of you. You know, dog whisperer, Caesar, if you watch Caesar says just walk into them and throw them off their balance, tip them over. You can do that too. Now, behavior modification training would say, fold your arms, turn your back, and hold real still and give them no feedback for jumping up. If they come around in front of you, you walk over to the wall and stand against the wall and hold still until they've completely stopped jumping. Then you turn around and have a calm greeting. Well, most people don't have the patience to go through that kind of a behavior mod thing, because behavior modification takes much longer. And in this case, to stop barking and get impulse control over jumping, it takes a long, long time. So I don't have the patience to do it. And because training works so well in this situation, usually the ignore business is not the best and most successful way to go. All right. So you can also use a training tool, can or the sound. So if you're standing, it'd be no, off, do what you need to bump the dog off, or training tool, and then good off. All right. So here's where the problems come in. People get really good at the no off part, but they're really bad at the good off part. And why is that? That's because you go through the process, you get the dog off, and then you start praising. Good off. Good off. What happens? Dog gets excited again when you start praising and jumps back up. So most people just stop praising. No, 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 no. That's not what you do. Take advantage of the fact that when you get excited, they jump back up again. Perfect opportunity to start teaching them impulse control when they're excited. So temporarily, when you're doing the off sequence, and you're teaching your dog to stay off, you add a temporary fifth step. All right, so we got no, off, shake the can, good off. Now, before you touch or pet, you're going to escalate the praise and the excitement. and with your voice and then with your body by flailing your arms and that sort of thing. So I would do good off, oh, what a good off, oh, what a good off, and get silly, goofy hands in the air. Now, you know, it's only a matter of seconds until you get excited enough and that dog jumps back up again. Well, that's exactly what you want. So then instantly you switch your tone and you're back to the sequence. No, off, shake, good off, out, no, off, shake, good, out, no, off, shake, good off, out, good off, out, no, off, shake. Okay. You're not done with that one correction until you can vigorously praise and get goofy and animated and your dog's all 4 feet on the floor and they're bouncing around wiggling going, oh, geez, I get it. It doesn't matter how excited you get. I keep my feet on the floor. Okay, great lesson, because guess what? Now you're helping your dog learn impulse control when he's excited. So this helps lay the groundwork for when people come over, we're meeting people, greeting people, and the excitement level goes up. Well, we've already taught our dogs how to control themselves when they're excited. See, impulse control is learned behavior. So they have to learn. So does that make sense?
Yeah, I'm kind of getting what you're saying and how I should adapt it to my situation, because you know, you're talking about how when you start petting the dog, that gets the dog excited and jumping up. I'm sure I just need to modify it so I just move it the process a little bit later. But with Abby, you know, she gets really calm as when you're petting her and she stays sitting and nice and peaceful. But when you stop petting her, she goes into like a more type phase and then starts jumping up on you. And, you know.
Okay, well, then this next step may help with that as well. But that tells me, if that's happening, that Abby's not under control in the first place. That you're probably bending to pet her and greet her in order to keep her from jumping up. And then you stop and then she's going to come right back up at you again. Now, so first of all, if you start with the sequence, no, off, and use your training tool, she's not going to be so eager to jump back up on you. And then when you add the sit, this is what you do. So you can do just the off sequence and teach the dog not to jump up. And then you add the fifth step of doing the excitement and making sure that the dog understands that just because the excitement level goes up, they still have to keep their feet on the floor. Once you've accomplished that, and remember, once you teach something, you have to generalize it. And so you have to practice, you know, in a few different areas to make sure they understand. It doesn't matter what your excitement in this room or the other room, you still control yourself. Now, once you're through that point, then you might add a permanent fifth step if you want to, because some people like to teach what I call a sit for greeting ritual. So the way that this works is that you go through with jumping up, you do the no off training tool if you need it, good off. And then before you touch or pet the dog, the new fifth step is you ask the dog to sit. The dog sits, then you bend over and can physically touch them and greet. Good sit, have a pet. Now, the rule is that in order for the petting to continue, you got to keep your butt on the floor. So this is what I'm thinking Nathan might help you.
Well, whenever you're petting Abby, she's always like gets into a sitting pose and throughout the entire time of you petting her. So that's not really an issue in her case.
See, it's
more
you
like
stop.
When you stop petting
right,
her.
That's
it's
what
like,
I'm
more,
getting
more,
to,
more.
Right. Yeah. Right. That's what I'm getting to now. The fact that when she wants more, she jumps right up in under those circumstances tells me that she doesn't know she's not supposed to jump up unless she's invited. So you have more work to do in teaching her that pattern. All right. But now if we want to add the sit for greeting ritual, we go through the no off, get them off. And then before you touch your pet, you ask them to sit. Soon as they sit, then you can start petting. Good sit. But the rule is your butt has to stay on the floor for the petting to continue. So if they stand up, then you just lift your hand, say, lift your hands up, take them off the dog, and then ask for the sit again, then go down. Now, good sit. That's if they stand sit. Good, good. And then what they realize is that, oh, if I want the greeting to continue, I need to keep sitting. Well, you could use something similar with Abby to some, you know, when you stop the greeting and you stand up, she starts to know, you'd say, sit. And that's a good sit. And then you could, you know, give her a little pet again. Or you just add in the sequence at the end of that. You greet her and then she says, more. Okay, I'm being told to make sure sometimes with high energy dogs, this would sometimes be me and my golden retrievers. Golden retrievers can be real high energy, sporting breed dog, but border collies can be real high energy. And a lot of them have pogo sticks for legs. Okay. So the point of the off exercise is basically to teach them it's not the jumping that's bad. It's the jumping up onto the human and contacting the physical body. So sometimes with these real young pogo stick for leg dogs, okay, you use the sequence to teach them to stay off of your body, but you allow them to bounce around you. So they might be, oh, I'm so glad you're home. And they're ba-boing, 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 but they're staying away from you so they're not touching your body. Does that make sense? So the idea is because sometimes the real high energy models, when they're younger, they'll still get excited enough to bounce around when they see you. It's just they don't bounce off of you. And then you can add that sit for greeting part. And so they know, because dogs anticipate rituals. So if you add in that sit for greet at the end, as soon as they figure that out, doesn't take very long, then they realize, oh, okay, when I go to people, if I jump on them, I'm in trouble. If I go and sit, then they will greet me. So they anticipate that little ritual. And so when they greet you or people, they come up to you and sit. So if you would like the sit for greeting ritual, that's how you teach it. That makes sense to both of you?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. We need any clarification on anything, or are you good, Nathan?
I think that pretty much sums it up.
Cool. All right. And we are at the top of the hour, so that's good timing. All right. We continue next hour. We're going to we'll finish up here with the sequences briefly, and then we're going to go to all the exercises that everybody needs to teach. So we're love training now. Remember, dancing is required, but you can dance in your head, you can dance in your bed, you can dance in your chair, you can dance anywhere. We'll come get you and you can join the love train. I energize this up with the yogi energization prayer. Here we go with that. Oh, infinite spirit, recharge our bodies with thy conscious cosmic energy, our minds with thy concentration and determination, our soul and all souls with thy ever new joy. O eternal youth, the body and mind, abide in me forever and forever via the love train. And it's coming up right here. Animal World continues on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.